Please rise for the gospel reading. It's Luke chapter 18, verses 35 through 43, and I also will be reading from the Message. A blind man was sitting beside the road asking for handouts. When he heard a rustle of the crowd, he asked, "What was going on?" They told him, "Jesus the Nazarene is going by." He yelled, "Jesus, Son of David, mercy! Have mercy on me!" Those ahead of Jesus told the man to shut up. But he only yelled all the louder, "Son of David, mercy! Have mercy on me!" Jesus stopped and ordered him to be brought over. When he had come near, Jesus asked, "What do you want from me?" He said, "Master, I want to see again." Jesus said, "Go ahead, see again. Your faith has saved and healed you." The healing was instant. He looked up, seeing, and then followed Jesus, glorifying God. Everyone in the street joined in, shouting and praising praise to God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Thank you. On September 15, 1762, John Wesley wrote a letter to Dorothy Furley. She had been a correspondent of his for a bit, and she was asking him about this concept of perfection that he was preaching. And he had engaged on this for some time and had gotten a lot of questions. And he told her, "I want you to be all love. This is the perfection I believe and teach. All love." The same day, Wesley wrote another letter to Dorothy's brother, Reverend Samuel Furley, who also had been engaged in questioning Wesley's teachings, only perhaps a little bit on more of a theological basis and a little bit more argumentative. Samuel was an Anglican priest and was not one of the followers of Wesley. Wesley basically, in his letter, said, "I'm going to stop arguing about this. I will tell you what I believe, and then leave it at that. If you want to believe it, fine. If you don't, that's fine too. But here is what Wesley believed. There are people who are exceedingly holy and happy." He was saying, basically, work with me here. Do you know anyone in their living who are holy and happy? Who rejoice evermore? Who are always praying? And in everything, giving thanks? Feeling the love of God and man every moment. Feeling no pride or other evil temper. If these are not perfect, then scripture has no meaning. Because for Wesley, that's what it meant to be perfect in this life. And Wesley believed that salvation is a present thing. It wasn't something out in the future. It wasn't something that necessarily happened when you died. Salvation, you lived your salvation, and that you could get to this scriptural form of perfection by living the way he described. And so he ended his letter to Samuel saying, "Oh, let you and I go to perfection. God grant that we may so run as to attain." Basically, if we live like I described, There's nothing to argue about. That's whether you want to call it perfection or not, I do. And so let's review sort of what Wesley's thoughts about being all love. Because what he was describing to Samuel was unpacking what he presented to Dorothy in a very curse, sort of short sentence, be all love. So what was that? First, living a holy and happy life. He wrote about this in the three rules of Methodism, about doing no harm, doing good, and walking with God, basically in line with what Micah had written in the Old Testament. And so, you know, living a happy life is living an authentic life, being a life where you are living what you believe, that you don't have this struggle of doing one thing and believing another, that you are living a holy and happy life. He believed very much that if you lived as Christ has written, had Christ has said in the Bible, that you would be happy. You live a holy life, you would live a happy life. And then he said rejoicing. Well, rejoicing is praise. Praise to God. And if you are basically rejoicing for all that is around you each day, you wake up and you say, oh, what a great day. And at night you go to bed, oh, that was a great day. You are rejoicing for all that God has given. Remember, the blind man got up after he was able to see and he glorified God. And all those around praised what they had seen. So this is part of this living a life of all being all love. Praying always. Paul tells us that we should pray without ceasing. Jesus says, you know, it is how we live. Prayer isn't something that you bow your head and just say a prayer. Prayer is how you live. It is breathing. If you want to think about it, you breathe out, you inspire, you breathe in the Holy Spirit, and you breathe out all those distempers and aspects. But it's basically how we live. We live a prayer. And we pray without ceasing when we live that way. And when Wesley wrote to Dorothy and said, I want you to be all love, he was basically saying, pray always. Give thanks. There's been a lot of research recently in psychology about how important gratitude is, giving thanks. And if you basically thank people and thank those around you for what you have, it's a way of getting to happiness. Having an attitude of gratitude is very important. Because if you're always walking around with a chip on your shoulder that you didn't get this or you didn't get that, you lose track of what you did get. You lose the enjoyment of all those blessings that you've had and have. And even maybe blessings of banjo music. Loving God and neighbor. That was part of the list too. And it goes right back to what are the two great commandments? To love thy God and love your neighbor as yourself. If you can do that, that's part of being all love. It is so important. This is part of what Wesley is calling perfection. And finally, feeling no pride or other evil. Again, the Wesley's rules that we have learned, do no harm, do good, walk with God. It is so much a part of of who we are in terms of our belief systems, but it is part of this list that Wesley provided to Samuel Furley back in 1762 to give him some sense of what it meant to be a Methodist. So Wesley's view was that whatever ye do, word or deed, do it all in the name of Lord Jesus. His basic message was that you live your religion, you live your faith, you live love. And to be all love, you needed to do that. In his paper on the character of a Methodist that he wrote in 1742, he emphasizes that all we do is to the glory of God. And he writes, whether one sits in his house or walk outside, whether you lie down or rise up, you are promoting in all you speak or do the one business of life. Whether you put on apparel or labor or eat or drink or divert yourself from wasting time, it all tends to advance the glory of God. Wesley was a great believer that what you do is who you are, and who you are is an expression of God. And if you take that seriously and think about what it is that you're doing each day, how you're spending your time, it reflects on you. But it also reflects on God, because when people look at you, do they see God? And you know, one of the messages is, are you demonstrating what it means to be a Christian? And we've sung hymns about that. And that's what Wesley was teaching. Even his mother, Wesley didn't come by this on his own. His mother is quoted as saying, I am content to fill a little space if God be glorified. I am content to fill a little space if glorified. Whatever your role may be, it can glorify God. And if you approach it that way, it will glorify God. It will. So let's review. We want to glorify God in all we do, in our living, in our rejoicing and praising God, in our praying, in our giving thanks, in our loving, in our humility, and in our happiness. In the Message version of Psalm 150, it says one of the things to do to praise God is praise Him with banjo. And paraphrasing an item that I read from a very wise woman this week in Facebook, it says, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know when to pick my banjo. And I think it's important to understand that all that we do can be part of praising God. Now, there's an old phrase that the definition of a gentleman, you all know what the definition of a gentleman is. It's someone who knows how to play the banjo and doesn't. My excuse is I don't really know how to play the banjo. I'm still in the phrase that I play at. I don't play the banjo, I play at the banjo. I'm still in the, you know, going on to perfection phase, with a little bit of backsliding thrown in. So I want to tell you a little bit of stories, sort of the banjo that I have today. I tried to play the banjo for a long time, but as Joan's illness got worse, I had less time to work on playing the banjo. But going back to when Joan and I first started dating, we liked country music, and we went to a little concert in Richmond where we heard this teenage country singer, at that point barely known. Her name was Alison Krauss. She was on the heavy side. She played the fiddle. She was with a band. You know, the place was relatively well filled, but she was not well known. For those who aren't familiar, Alison Krauss is now probably one of the top country singers out there. But she sang one song. She sang it a cappella, no instruments. And it was Paul McCartney's I Will. It was as if an angel was singing. Now, the words that Paul McCartney wrote are a little bit, I never quite always understood what he was trying to say, but some of the words are just resonate with me. So I fiddled a bit with Paul McCartney, and there are those who'd say I committed a great sin of, you know, messing with a master's words. But if you don't know the song, it goes something like this, particularly with my edits. Who knows how long I've loved you? You know I love you still. Will I wait for you a lifetime? If you want me to, I will. I never really saw you. I didn't know you came, but it really doesn't matter. I will always feel the same. Love you forever and forever. Love you with all my heart. Love you whenever we're together. Loved you right from the start. And when at last I find you, your song will fill the air. Sing it loud so I can hear you. Make it easy to be near you. For the things you do endear you to me. Oh, you know, I will. So just remember, I don't really play the banjo. And I don't normally play in front of people. And my hand is shaking.